From the KERA newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. Ahead, why high school kids across the country are interviewing family members this holiday. We'll begin, though, in East Texas. More patent infringement cases are brought to courts there than anywhere else in the country. As part of our Breakthroughs Project, Lauren Silverman has this report.
J.B. Goodwin's foray into the murky waters of patent litigation began in 2014 with an envelope.
It was a certified letter, a complaint against our firm, filed with the Eastern District Federal Court, which is a part of Texas where we do absolutely no business. Frankly, I didn't know what to think.
Goodwin, a realtor in Austin, didn't understand what exactly he was being sued for, but he knew it was serious.
We had about 2 weeks to answer the specific charges levied against us by the patent troll.
What's a patent troll? Depends on who you ask. Most people agree patent trolls are businesses that own a bunch of patents but don't produce anything. Instead, they make money by suing other companies, hoping to get them to pay a settlement fee. Often, they're called non-practicing entities. SMU law professor Keith Robinson says the patent troll, at its worst, doesn't care about right and wrong, whether or not you have a right to walk on the bridge above it. It just wants you to pay a fee.
The rationale behind that is it costs an incredible amount of money to litigate a patent case. So they can either spend millions of dollars defending the case or pay $50,000 for the patent holder to go away.
To slip back under the bridge, so to speak. Robinson says when patent trolls sue, they can essentially pick where they want to file their lawsuit, unlike other areas of law. So why would a company based in, say, Delaware, file a patent lawsuit in East Texas?
The best chance for a plaintiff to win is a lot of times in the Eastern District of Texas. Litigators find it to be a very patent-friendly district.
In the first half of 2015, the Eastern District of Texas received 1,300 patent infringement lawsuits, five times as many as the next most popular district. Not all companies that sue for patent infringement are patent trolls. The lawyer for Property Disclosure Technologies, that's the company that sued Goodwin, says it doesn't fit that definition. We'll hear from him in a minute. The company accused Goodwin and a dozen other real estate firms of using a common search feature without paying a licensing fee.
Since I did not feel like we had done anything wrong, and I felt the person applying for the patent had basically hoodwinked the U.S. Patent Office by getting a patent for a practice that had long applied, I just felt like we needed to fight the process as opposed to settle.
11 of the 13 companies sued did settle. Goodwin dug in his heels. He teamed up with the National Realtors Association and saddled up for a ride. After months of arguing, the plaintiff finally dropped the lawsuit. Another Texas businessman, Greg Dick, was caught up in a similar legal fight in 2011.
That's, I guess, the first time I heard the term patent troll.
A group called Variant Holding sued his hotel, Tanglewood Resort on Lake Texoma, for infringing on patent number 7624044. And yes, it was filed in the Eastern District of Texas.
The lawsuit was so technical that I truly still don't understand it, but it had something to do with being able to make a reservation over the internet.
Now, like in the case of J.B. Goodwin, Greg Dick was just one of many being sued. There were 75 companies on the list: Best Western, Hyatt, Yelp. Dick says some of the larger companies were agreeing to settlements for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And the only reason, you know, that you settle is because it's easier and less expensive to settle than it is to fight this. That's why this thing works for these unscrupulous, unethical law firms and companies.
Eventually, resort manager Greg Dick caved in. He settled for $5,000, which doesn't sound like much.
Well, our legal fees were over $60,000. That's a lot of money for a company like ours. And, you know, federal court is a little scary and intimidating.
We sent multiple emails to Variant Holding. No one responded. We did hear from the lawyer for the company that sued J.B. Goodwin. Eric Buther says Property Disclosure Technologies was just trying to, essentially, collect rent.
If somebody infringes a patent and the fair and reasonable royalty is only a small amount, That doesn't mean that the patent owner shouldn't be compensated for that fair and reasonable royalty. If I lease an apartment and my rent is only $100 a month, but I refuse to pay it, that doesn't mean the landlord shouldn't be compensated for $100 a month.
Buther says there are bad actors on both sides of the courtroom. Both claim to know how to reform the patent system. Both say American business and innovation hangs in the balance. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
Next week, you'll hear what's being done to rein in patent trolls in Texas. High school kids across the country will be bringing their phones to family dinners this holiday weekend. Not just to text their friends, though. They'll be interviewing family members StoryCorps style. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports it's part of a project called The Great Thanksgiving Listen.
Over and over again, I see how the simple act of being...
Walk into Mark Harrington's 11th grade AP history class, and there's StoryCorps founder David Isay on the big screen. The Public Radio Oral History Project is new to a lot of these kids at Seagoville High, southeast of Dallas. Still, they're eager to start a conversation. 16-year-old Casey Lewis's target is his sister Courtney, who's a decade older.
So we're both born in April, and she's, well, lesbian. And I just want to know if it was hard for her to come out to my dad, who's very kind of traditional.
Alexandria Deloach is the second of four kids. She wants to interview her mom, who's been through a lot.
I mean, well, she had a first child at 14, and it's like four of us, and like, you know, she had to raise us all by herself until, you know, like recently. And like, I think, you know, like, I wanted to know, like, how it feels, like, what's all the struggles that she had to overcome to, like, raise four kids and have us all come out how we did.
Alexandria, in an AP class at Seagoville, is doing pretty well so far. J.D. and Dialino's first interview choice? His grandmother. She's here from home in the Philippines. J.D. was born there, too, but he hasn't seen his grandmother since he left 11 years ago.
When I first saw her from the airport, I almost cried because, you know, I grew up with her. Because when my mom, she moved to America to, you know, to get a better job, to live here, I was left with my grandma so she could take care of me. So I grew up there, and then it was kind of didn't remember how my mom was or how she looked like. So when I came over here by myself, it was hard for me to adjust that she was my mom. Like, you know, I didn't really know that.
Mark Harrington, the teacher, has been talking up StoryCorps. Through the Great Thanksgiving Listen, his kids will record conversations using the app, then post them on the website, storycorps.me. They could even get some credit for it. And Harrington's planning for a chat himself with his mom, a widow. At age 9, young Mark had a brain tumor. It was successfully removed.
And I always wondered, you know, what was it like for you as a parent to go through that? And my sister found this 4 or 5 page writing that my father had done many years ago about his experiences going through that.
Now, Harrington has a reason to ask his mom about it, something he's never quite done.
So hard for a parent to have a child that's ill. You know, we're talking about a while ago when it was, you know, a brain tumor was virtually a death sentence. And I've often wondered how it clouded their adult lives.
Student Dryman Payne, who's 17, wants to find out about his mom by talking to his dad.
I probably asked my dad about... Why my mom left him, because I've always been curious about that.
Dryman says she left when he was too young to remember.
My dad said he would tell me about it if I ever, you know, straight out asked him, hey, can I know why they left? I decided to not ask that question because I think that might hurt me. That was one of those questions that I didn't think was a good question to ask. I think with this, I might be able to ask and I might be able to get a straight answer.
Straight answers. They're a goal of StoryCorps. Another, just getting the chance to ask the questions. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Learn more about the Great Thanksgiving Listen at StoryCorps.me. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.